First light. The shore in shadows, the fog banked on the horizon, water, land, and the line of the tide. So it would begin. They sat together on the bluff, overlooking the water, and waited for the dawn. Crisp pulled an apple from his pocket, split it with his knife, held out the fatter half to the dog. "'Tis the stuff of creation," he said, "and a remedy for the bowels." The dog sniffed at it cautiously. "See, there!" Crisp leaned forward and squinted into the gloom. Far below, at the end of the trail, a figure emerged from the trees and began the final descent to the beach. "There he be, as ye predicted," the dog growled and struggled to his feet. "Did ye know that a fortune may be read on a face, and a fate found in a query?" The dog raised his head and tested the air, opened his mouth, and began a low, soft keening. "Fine, fine," said Crisp. "But just remember, this be your idea." And then the dog was away, loping across the flat, dropping into the slope, picking up speed as he hurried to close the gap. Crisp lay back in the grass to await the sun. "Aye, Master Dog," he whispered to no one in particular. "I am well, if ye be well too." The man stood at the boundary of the beach, in the shadows of the hanging cedars, and listened to the heavy surf run in from deeper water. The beach pitched up sharply here, the high sand soft and dry. Farther down, the shore was firm and wet. The footprints vanished with each step. He didn't hear the dog until it came bursting out of the ferns and the underbrush. It raced past him, cut a wide arc in the sand and seagrass, and galloped back, snorting and trembling. "There you are." He could build a fire to chase away the cold and the damp. A fire would ease the ache in his hands, and he could warm the drum, turning it over and over until the heat pulled the hide tight against the wood frame. "What about it? Would you like a fire?" On the far bluff above the beach, the motel star blinked pale blue. At one time, perhaps when the motel had been fresh and crisp, the neon sign had read "Ocean Star Motel" and "Vacancy" and "Welcome." But the damp fog and the corrupting salt air had made the sign undependable. He imagined that people strolling the solitude of the beach might find such a sign an irritating presence. But as he made his way across the sand, the four letters that remained seemed oddly reassuring, as though the old motel might mark a place of shelter and safety. He stopped and knelt. The sand was dark and fine, thick, more like clay. He picked up a handful and squeezed it as hard as he could. Then he set it down and watched as it slumped and melted away. "Post hoc," he said to no one in particular. "Ergo propter hoc." Behind him, he could feel the sun roll out of the mountains like a bright wave. He touched the sand again and tried to remember which of the diving animals had brought up the first lump of earth. "Muskrat," he told the dog, "or maybe it was otter." He stepped into the lapping surf and waited. It would not be long now. And when the waters would part, the sand flat would rise out of the receding tide, wet and dark, like the hump of a massive sea creature, and the path to the lowly cluster of rocks in the distance would clear, straight and narrow. The Apostles. During much of the tidal cycle, they were little more than a low-lying cluster of bleak crags beaten by the waves. But when the moon turned to face the earth, the sea would pull back to reveal tall columns of basalt, smooth and sharpened by wind and water, slanting to the sky and braced against the racing currents. The dog moaned and looked back to the high sand. "It's okay," said the man. "You don't have to come."